Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to Understanding God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we're here tonight with our panel to continue with our discussion of the Word of God. Today is January the 3rd, 2023. Sound kind of strange. I got to get used to saying 2023 now. But we are grateful and happy that the Lord has blessed us to enter into this new year. And so we pray that this year will be even better than before. It doesn't matter the outward circumstances. It doesn't matter what we go through. What matters is that we're growing as we go through. Yes. What matters is that we're being developed and being matured where we trust God and trust Christ in his atonement all the more. So we always say that if we're maturing in Christ and growing, the trials and difficulties will become harder. But they also at the same time become easier, because the more we're surrendered, the more we are terminated, the easier it is to accomplish or do the will of God. That makes sense?
Amen.
Because remember, grace is God imparting his life into us, and he's going to live it out through us, but we have to be moved out of the way. So every circumstance and every trial that the believer faces is allowed by God for a purpose, for a reason. And this tonight we're going to look at the ministry, continue with the ministry of Christ according to the order of Melchizedek. It's because his ministry now is according to the heavenlies, where he's seated. He's at the in the Holy of Holies, seated on the throne in the presence of God, okay? And so there he is ministering to us, but in a different way, in a different aspect, not according to sin and not according to forgiveness of sin and all that. He's fulfilled that earthly ministry. We need it. We will always rely upon it, because remember, we said that's the foundation. But as Christ, as we're growing and maturing, we have to desire the sincere milk of God's word. The only way for us to be transformed, and we talked about that putrefied stone, which was wood, the natural casing of the wood is the log or the tree is the wood, right? But if it is sitting in, if it's in the water and water constantly rushes or run across it day by day, that water causes a transformation, meaning that all of the wood, the natural wood, is washed out and it's replaced with the minerals of the water, which causes it to look like the wood or a log, but it's actually stone. And so this is the same thing. If we desire the sincere milk of God's word, meaning the unadulterated, what it means, if we desire simply what to embrace what the word is actually saying, what it actually means. Don't come up with doctrines and beliefs, turn around three times, name it and claim it. See, we've been taught to embrace those things, which pushes us away from this transformation process. So what God has to do, there has to be a constant change. The more that I yield, the more that I submit to his, to this redemptive plan that's taking place in my life, the more that I decrease, the more he's able to transform me where I become a lively stone. And that's in comparison to the putrefied wood that we talked about. Outwardly, I look the same. But inwardly, there is a transformation that has made me just like Peter was a little rock or a little stone of the big of the rock Christ. Y'all see this? He was a pebble and he was going to be built based upon the rock, Jesus Christ, of our salvation. Okay? So grace is simply God working and living out his life in and through us. The sufferings he encountered, we're not going to experience the suffering to the extent that he went through while walking on the earth, but we will be rejected by men. We will be ridiculed. Y'all see this? We will encounter persecution. And because as we read in 2 Corinthians 4, though our outward man is perishing, our inward man is being renewed day by day. And we got to see that tonight, because it is the ministry, the intercession work of Christ, his presence in the heavenlies, that causes us to become overcomers here on earth. The only reason why we're able to go on is because of his intercession. Yeah, that makes sense. Only reason why we can go on through sickness is because of the intercessory work of Christ. Y'all ever gone through some problems and difficulties and you felt like, wow, this is bigger than me? But something in you, and I can say something or someone in you, the treasure that's in the earthen vessel, won't let you give up, won't let you give in.
Amen.
You have that hope that keeps you going, keeps you, causes you to continue to go forward and trust God despite the outward circumstances. This is what God, his grace, his life is being imparted into us. And this is what the intercession of Christ does. Amen. As we overcome, as we trust God in difficulties or through it, he imparts his life in us. This is what the bread and the wine represents. He comes to strengthen us. He comes to provide his processed life, which is what the bread, he said, the bread was his broken, represented his broken body, and the wine represented his shed blood. This is what we have to feed off of day to day. We have to be given strength as we, like Abraham, fight our Chedorlaomers, those kings, those four kings and their armies, day after day. And after we overcome and are victorious, God comes in to strengthen us with himself, the life of Christ. That makes sense?
Amen.
Amen. So this is what we're looking at tonight, the ministry according to the order of Christ, according to the order of Melchizedek. Any questions before we go any further? Okay, so tonight we're going to start in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24. We looked at the fact that Christ has a better priesthood. Christ is a kingly priest, and his priesthood is eternal, and it's based upon a better covenant. And he is the guarantee or the surety, meaning that he's the one that guarantees that this covenant, because of his death, will continue forever. Okay? He doesn't have to die again. His priesthood is unalterable. But the ministry, according to Aaron, a Levitical priesthood, according to the order of Aaron and his sons, they died constantly. You know, it was frail men who, after one would die, then they had to be replaced with another. It constantly had to go through a change. But with the priesthood of Christ, it's unchangeable. And he brought in a better covenant, okay? And so this is what we're looking at tonight. This is why we have to rely on this priesthood brought in by Christ. Now, remember, Christ fulfilled the earthly ministry of the order of the type of Aaron. He fulfilled that when he died on the cross, and it was a sacrifice to be made once for all. He will not go through that process again. We will forever rely upon it. We have to look back to what he's done for forgiveness of sin and for getting through, for purification of our conscience, all that stuff. That was accomplished once for all. He's fulfilled that. Now his ministry, he's passed through, like you said earlier, Sister Cher, into the heavens, and his ministry now is an intercessor. Okay? He's interceding on our behalf. This is what he did in Genesis 14 before Abraham took up arms to fight Chedorlaomer and his armies, the four kings. God, Melchizedek, was the first priest pronounced or announced on the scene. He was the first priesthood or the first priest, and Abraham had already lifted his hands to the Most High God. So this represented the intercession or the intercessory work of Christ that takes place from behind the scenes. God is praying, or he has interceded for our salvation, our initial salvation, and he continues to intercede that we will go forward to partake from his throne of grace, so that his life, the life he lived on earth, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension caused the Spirit of God to come into us to do the work of God, which is to transform us into the image of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See this? So this is his goal, was the Holy of Holies. As when he walked the earth and he went through all those things, his goal was to get to the Holy of Holies. He's the reason why we have access to God. So when we enter in through the brazen laver or the altar, when we give our lives to Christ, we don't just stay there at the altar. Remember, there was an altar, a brazen altar where they kill or they offer sacrifice on the altar. And then there was the brazen laver that they washed, the priests would wash their hands and feet in. And then before, right there was a tabernacle, and there was two parts. There was a holy place. And the holy place had first a veil, a screen there. And so when you entered in, you had to be screened, and then you would go see the cross screens us. The more we start with at the altar, enter into the gate of the outer court where the brazen altar is, where God screens us and we keep going and we progress. As we enter into the holy place, we have to, our goal is the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies, where God's presence is. So in the holy place, right before you entered, was a veil. When you went through that veil, then you had the table of showbread that they would go there first, and then you had the lampstand. And there was also an incense altar. You wouldn't hit that incense altar because you would go straight. Your goal was straight into the behind the second veil, which was where the Ark of the Covenant was, the testimony, mm-hmm. the Ark of Testimony, okay? Then when the priests come out from there, they will hit the altar of incense. So my point is you had to go straight through. This is our goal. We cannot be aimless in our salvation experience. A lot of people get saved, give their lives to Christ, and then sit down on God. And many Christians are still stuck in the outer court. They're still at the brazen altar. They're still hanging around the altar dealing with sin. Can't overcome sin. Y'all see what I'm saying? And they're not allowing the word to wash them at the brazen laver. There's a progression. We're a priesthood. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So everybody that becomes a Christian don't go on to be priesthood, to be ministers unto God. And this has got to go. We should never sit down on God. We see a lot of Christians, they're saved. We're not questioning their love for God. But the point is we have to go on. And this is why Paul was encouraging these Christians in the book of Hebrews. Don't stop. He said, you're going on. You're going forward. You're in the holy place. Don't lose focus now just because you got a little persecution. Don't lose focus now because things are not going your way and it just appears as hard things. You have hardship. He says that God has calculated that and he's allowed it for a reason. You and I have to keep our minds stayed on him, so that he can keep us in perfect peace, so that we can keep going forward. The goal is to be in his presence. Any questions?
I think that what happens sometimes, we get discouraged when we go through our trials and tribulation,
yes.
And then we just say, well, I just give up. I ain't nothing going to happen. I'm not going to go forward anymore. I'm just going to just sit here. So
right.
A lot of us just give up instead
right.
of going,
yes,
on,
ma'am.
Going forward.
Right. And most people will not, like you said, we're frightened by the what we see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're supposed to make, even though there's outward activity, inwardly we should be at peace. There's going to always be outward activity in our life. There's going to always be kids, you know, you as a parent, you're hustling and bustling as a parent trying to get your kids and activities they're involved in with school, and you got to go to work and all these different things. But inwardly, we should be at rest. See, we should not be disturbed inwardly. And the attack, Sister Chair, is from, by Satan, is to disturb us within, from within. He said, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you. That word sift means an inward agitation to the point of overthrow. He wants to inwardly agitate us. How does he do it? The flesh, the emotions, our mind, the will. You see that? We get caught up, and this is why our passions, our lusts, our mind, all those things have to be nailed and crucified with Christ so that the Spirit of God can bring and usher in the peace that surpasses all of our understanding. And then through Christ Jesus, so that the will of God can come forth in our lives, in and through our lives, so that people will know and see God's presence upon us. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Sister Vicky, I think you were making a comment as well.
Well, you just clarified something for me. Aaron's priesthood was still dealing with sin and how the Lord wants sent Jesus to take away that sin. So we are not to go back once we've realized that the Lord is with us and that sin, Jesus would not die again for any sins, because that's already been done.
Yes.
So now we're going to rise up and go into another level, which is that of Melchizedek.
Uh-huh, yes.
And that is a heavenly, he was a heavenly priest. And him being a heavenly priest, we have to realize that that is a really a different level for everyone. But, you know, Minister, the only thing, how many people really know about this other level of priesthood?
Right, amen, amen, amen. It's rarely taught. We're always taught about, you know, and I'm not demeaning this, because it's necessary. We do need the cross, but we're keeping people at the outer, on the outer court, and dealing mm-hmm. with sin and trying to overcome, and we're poor, pitiful me, and Lord, I can't get through this, and it's just so hard, and da 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 da. But God's like, I need a people that I can use to represent me, to show forth my righteousness in chaotic situations. And the example we used was with Abraham. Abraham didn't, Lord, I can't, Lord, help, my problem is just so big, and I just don't know, and I don't know about Lot and this situation, and we poor, pitiful us, and Lord, have mercy, Lord Jesus. Yeah, y'all see what I mean? He got up.
Right.
Saw this difficult circumstance, the intercession of Melchizedek, which was a type of Christ, and was the guy here, the type of Christ, interceding on our behalf. And so, same thing with David. David didn't, oh, poor, pitiful Israel. He stood up to face the one who was defying the God of Israel, while everybody else was shaken in fear and doubt and had no peace. See that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We will always need rely on the ministry of Christ according to the order of Aaron for sin, forgiveness, for propitiation, for the, you know, when we fail and all that, we always, but he doesn't have to die again. See, y'all see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to offer himself again. But that is to help us get to the next level, which God's original purpose was not, see, sin was nowhere in the plan. Sin was a stopgap measure the fall was, the redemption was a measure used. It wasn't a goal, but it was used to get us back to the original purpose and goal. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because Satan came in and caused the fall through Adam and Eve's sin and failure to obey God, God said, I can still find a man in the earth to accomplish my will and bring me back in relationship with my creation, with mankind.
Mm-hmm.
So his original purpose was he created man in his image. Right? And then mm-hmm. he was going to pour into man his life through the tree of life, them partaking. But Satan knew this and intervened or usurped his authority in their lives and caused them to fall in the soulish part, in the spirit. Their spirit, soul, and body, they fell. And because mm-hmm. of that, God needed a man without the fall. Fallen nature, which was Christ, who had to be born, had to be incarnate, he had to be created, he had to be birthed in the woman Mary. He was fully God. God could not redeem us as God. See this? He couldn't relate to us as God. So he had to, through his son, become incarnate and became Christ, Jesus Christ, the anointed one.
Amen.
Amen. So now, because Christ died as a corn of wheat in the earth, why? So that he can bring forth much fruit, many more brethren. See this? And that's us. In the book of Genesis, everything was created according to its kind. But when God created man, we were created in according to his image. You see this? So God still needed to have his image in the earth to be fruitful, multiply, and have dominion. So God is after his image and his dominion, expression of his image and his dominion in the earth. And only those who are willing to go on through their circumstances to be transformed, to be terminated, can express them. Remember, we said the natural life, because of the fall, nothing about us, the natural life, God doesn't want. He's not going to use. So he has to terminate us, and that was the purpose of the cross. So every believer has to go through the process of the cross. If we want to be used in the earth, see, many of us are trying to use our natural goodness, our natural kindness, our natural, you know, all the things about us to do good things. This is why the law, we fell short of the law. Even though God had commandments, we couldn't keep it and do it according to our natural self because we were fallen. So you got many people in church trying to live for God, but according to the natural energy of them, of their own ability and their own strength. And in the eyes of God, he says, no, it's got to go through the cross. Remember, we got to go through the screening.
Mm-hmm.
The cross screens us out so that the life of Christ can come forth and be revealed in and through us. This is why Paul said, we are pressed on every side, but yet not destroyed, persecuted. I'm not saying scripture right, but not cast down. You see that? Forsaken. But you look at the other aspect of it, God is with us, so even though outwardly it appears we're down and out, inwardly we're transformed. We're being transformed by the circumstances.
Amen.
This is the whole point. This is his grace. This is Melchizedek saying, I'm going to bring to you the bread and the wine as you go out and fight the Melchizedek, I mean the Cheddar Lamars, which may be attitude, which may be selfishness, which may be self-centeredness, which may be lying or whatever it is of the natural life. We have to, during the day, destroy it, fight against it, you see, according to the spirit. But after the battle, we come back victorious, God pours himself back into us. Now I'm in his image. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Amen.
This is the ministry according to Melchizedek, of Christ, according to the order of Melchizedek. It is Christ's point as we draw near to the altar. Grace, he says, come to the throne of mercy and grace that you may find grace to help in time of need. Paraphrasing. And it's grace is God himself flowing into us, through and out of us to do everything for us. We got to get out of the way. That's why John the Baptist said we must decrease so that he might increase. John chapter 3. The problem is nobody wants to change. Everybody wants to be the same. Everybody wants to center and focus on themselves. Nobody wants to die to self. Nobody wants to put others before self. Nobody wants to become a servant unto others or for Christ, on behalf of Christ. But we all want it to be about self.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's covered up in a religious way to make us look. It's called false humility. And so we're given the titles and the position, but nobody's decreased inwardly. Everybody's on the throne of their own hearts. And God has to come. If I say that he says, if you're going to come after me, you're going to have to lose your life as you know it. It's not about you, but it's about my purpose. It's about my image being revealed through you. And if I'm not willing to lose my natural life as I know it, then he says, You're gonna lose your life. If you're trying to save your life as you know it, let me say it right. If you try to save your life, then you will lose true life. But if you lose your life for his sake, meaning I'm letting go of this natural life, I don't care if what they think of me. I don't care if they call and ridicule me. And what I'm not here to try to defend myself and promote myself. But for your sake, Lord, if they think I'm a fanatic, so be it. He said, if you lose your life for my sake, then you shall find it, true life, in which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I'm sorry, Sister Vicky. What you said was right and good, and it just took me that way. Anything else you were adding to that?
Later, I have another question after we come off of the tape.
Okay, no problem. So here it says, like we said, grace is God flowing, himself flowing into us. Now we say God himself because Christ is the representation of the Godhead. He says Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. And Christ, what he did, the anointed one, what he did, his suffering and his persecution, his death, his burial, his resurrection and ascension made him the process God. See this? We have the triune God through what Christ has done operating in us. The Godhead flows in and through us because of Christ. And we have the Spirit of God who's there to impart this nature, the divine nature, which transforms us into the image. This is, we have to learn to enjoy. This is what it means to enjoy the grace of God, enjoy Christ. It's his life being poured out into us as we walk through our day-to-day activities, trusting him in difficulty, knowing that he's working everything out for our good.
Amen.
Okay? We will forever rely on the cross. Understand that. We're not saying we're going away from it. No, we can never do that because the only way we have access to God is because of the cross. The only way that I can stay crucified is because of the cross. The only way that my passions and lust don't come forth is because of the cross. Now, the cross makes it possible for me to go to this next level, which is the ministry of Christ according to the order of Melchizedek, where he is making me an overcomer in life. See, too many Christians stuck with dealing with sin, dealing with weakness, can't overcome nothing, and we're just defeated. And Christ says, God says, you need my grace, my life to get through. This is why he could say, in this life you're going to have tribulation. But, see, this is what he's referring to. Be of good cheer. How could Christ say that? I'm going to have troubles in this life. How am I going to be of good cheer? It's because he knows that the life of God has been imparted to us as we trust him and go through. We're going to see this in a minute in this verse here. I know we're taking some time to get there. But as we go through, Abraham had to go through dealing with those five kings, Chedorlaomer and those four kings. He had to go on. He couldn't just sit back, oh, I believe, yes, the Lord gonna work it out. And, oh, yeah, but no, he had to actually walk it out.
Mm-hmm.
See, we want to sit back and just throw it back in God's hand. God says, no, you're well equipped. Walk it out. I didn't send my son to die and do everything you need, and the power is invested in you, in your life, for you to go forward and trust me. This is why you and I have to go through difficulties. And what happens is if we sit down on God, God goes on, you will miss out on all the victorious living and life and God expressing himself in and through you and being used as a minister in this earth or on his behalf. And God will go to the next and wait until you're ready and available. And some people don't even make it to that point. They die and go to heaven. But he said many, because they did not discern the Lord's body, became weak, sick, and died prematurely. Sleep. You see that? They did not accomplish God's will and purpose and were not overcomers. So Satan overtook them. The enemy and things in life overtook them. This is why they were overthrown in the wilderness. They couldn't enter into the promises. because they refuse to enter into his rest. Rest comes when I trust, when I believe and trust God. And it's what Abraham did. He had faith. He trusted in God, and God counted to him as righteousness. And peace is a byproduct of righteousness. So if there is no righteousness and peace, and I come to God, I won't be able to go forward, especially if I don't have peace.
Right.
You see that? Mm-hmm. So peace is what causes us to keep going. Remember, inwardly, I'm not agitated. Peter was Satan wanted to sift him. But what did Christ pray for? His faith fell not. This is the same thing for you and I. Our faith can't fail us in difficult moments. We have to go on. Don't be like the Hebrew Christians that got stuck and were concerned about their lives to the point they knew they may die if they stood against Judaism. He said, go on where Christ is. He's seated at the heavenly. He's at the throne. Go on so his grace, go to the throne of grace where God can give himself, flow himself into you, through you, and do everything for you as you and I trust.
Amen.
See that? All right, so let's go back here at Hebrews chapter 7. Finally, we're here. Verse 24.
But this man, because he continues ever, has an unchangeable priesthood.
Okay.
Keep going.
We just 24. So we said here, because he abides, I'm reading a different translation to bring it out a little more, because he abides forever, has his priesthood unalterable. See that? It doesn't change. It's unalterable. So it says, since they were mortal and died, talking about the priesthood according to Aaron, they had to be continually replaced. But this is in contrast to our high priest who lives forever. He's unchangeable. And he's passed not from, it's not passed from one to another. Okay? Christ holds that.
Amen.
Okay? So, according, the Aaronic priesthood versus the Melchizedek priesthood is that it represents, in type, law. The Aaronic priesthood represented law versus power. Law restrains, but power enables. This is the difference between Aaron's priesthood and Christ's ministry. So, the commandment was external versus life. Melchizedek meant the priesthood of Christ, according to the order of Melchizedek, brought life internal. The Aaronic priesthood was carnal or fleshly versus this priesthood, according to Melchizedek, was endless and eternal. Aaron's priesthood was always changing, whereas Christ is never changing. Aaron's priesthood was weak and unprofitable versus Christ brings us close or nigh unto God. And the priesthood, according to Aaron, the earthly ministry of Aaron, it brought nothing, it made nothing perfect, whereas Christ's priesthood brought in a better hope. Let's keep going, verse 25.
Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost who come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them.
So this is the ministry of Christ according to the order of Melchizedek, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is big. It says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. That this is salvation, and it's big. It's not just for initial salvation, but it's for initial salvation and continually day by day to be changed, transformed, and delivered. So he's able to save us, to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, Christ, seeing he lives, he ever lives to make intercession for them. Now the word uttermost means completely. He's able to save them completely, perfectly, utterly. save them to the uttermost. So these words are intended to exclude nothing. There is no condition nor situation which is not included. This is why you and I can't let our problems and circumstances overtake us. Some of us, some situations happen, what we do, we panic. Fear paralyzes. You can't go forward in fear. Fear causes us to stop in our tracks, and you can come in, the enemy can come in and make you do anything just for some false sense of peace. This is why he says, my peace I leave for you, not the peace of the world. The peace of the world says, okay, come do this, and then this will happen. So everybody just want to get back to their norm. This is the world. When stuff happens, everybody want to get to their norm. So they're willing to do anything to get to their norm. So they forfeit true peace for a false sense of peace, a compromised peace. See what I'm saying? But the peace that Christ has, there's no condition nor situation that you know, there's nothing that you can't overcome. When you have Christ's peace, you can go on. You can go keep going to the throne. Y'all know how it is. Stuff come in and it shake you a little bit, and you're like, whoa, what's going on? You can't focus, but you have to keep your mind stayed on him. Encourage yourself in the Lord. And when you do that, the peace of God that surpasses your understanding. Lord, I don't understand. Be like Job. I don't understand what's going on. I don't know why it's going on, but I trust.
Amen.
I trust that you have my best interest at heart. And if you allow this circumstance, Lord, Satan, you have no place here. You are defeated, and whatever is meant for evil, God can work it for my good. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We have to keep drawing nigh. Now, notice the condition. He says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. But look at the condition. Those that come unto God by Christ, by him. So it says, that come unto God by him. Here is the condition, that they come unto God by Jesus. He is able to bring them to God by making intercession. See, this is his role as the heavenly high priest. He makes intercession for us. This is why I can come into God. Not to draw back. Remember he said something in the scripture, how we don't draw back unto fear, but we go forward to the saving of the soul. The believers here in the book of Hebrews were going to go back out of fear. But God wanted some people. He's like, I need folks that's going to trust me. Don't be scared by the form of the shadow of death. Don't be scared by the roaring lion. You know, because Satan comes as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom we are to resist. How? By being steadfast. See this? In the faith. I can't just have faith one time. I got to be steadfast daily, day to day, because there's always going to be obstacles and situations, and you and I can't let them get us off guard. We got to always be growing and going forward, not in the energy of our own strength, but trusting him despite. Too many Christians shrink back when there's situations that are difficult. Too many Christians shrink back, and we want to go find some place of comfort and things that bring us appeasement and happiness, and we don't want to be disturbed. But God, remember, Satan is always after us to disturb. He wants to prevent us from growing. He wants us to prevent the spiritual house in the building that God is building with his holy habitation. He wants that disturbed so that God can't dwell or make his abode and settle down into us. See this? God's not going to settle down in fear and doubt and unbelief. He can't. So when I receive Christ, the only way he can permeate my life is as I continue to trust him. And the more I trust him and the more I'm willing to allow him to settle down, meaning let his grace, his life be poured in me, is when I rest. See, remember, Mary chose the best part. Any questions? Mary allowed Christ. She was serving. Nothing wrong with doing things. And remember, outwardly we can be busy, but inwardly, if you are disturbed inwardly, then he said, Martha, you are concerned about much things. Mary has chosen the best part. She could have been serving. Mary was probably helping her. But Mary recognized that in order for me to inwardly have some peace, I need to sit down and learn of you. You see what I'm saying? Martha was busy and anxious and worried about things that took her peace, that caused her to be inwardly dissatisfied. And that inward dissatisfaction bled into criticizing her sister. Y'all see that? Y'all know how that is. We go through some stuff, and then our stuff bleed onto our spouses and bleed into our children, and we want to make our problem because we doubt and walk in and unsettled and don't have faith. We want to let that bleed into us. Y'all know what I'm saying? And sometimes you got to steal away because some folks bring that negative energy, and you're like, it's not disturbing my peace.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have to make sure we stay consecrated because the enemy wants to pull that, put that energy in us so we're disturbed inwardly. Y'all see what I'm saying? So Mary sat at his feet, and she chose the best part. She chose not to be disturbed. She chose not to be caught up in whatever. And I'm sure after she got what she needed, she probably went back and started serving and helping out and doing whatever. But inwardly, remember, the outer court was busy. But in the Holy of Holies, there was just the presence of God, and there was no activity. Y'all see what I'm saying? There was no traffic there. See what I'm saying? So outwardly, we can be busy doing things, living life, going to work, dealing with school, dealing with children. But don't let your peace be taken away inwardly. See, that's what the enemy wants.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. We're still talking about, he says, and I'm going to read this scripture, the same verse, but I'm going to read it, verse 25. I'm going to read it in a different translation to bring it out. It says, hence also, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come forward to God through him, talking about Christ, since he, Christ, lives always to intercede for them. Mm-hmm. All right, I don't know why that menu come up. I don't know if a button was pressed or what, but anyway, we're back. I hope you guys didn't go anywhere. But in Romans chapter 5, and as I was stating, my part is to come forward, according to Hebrews 7:25, is to come forward to God. See, when we're in difficulties, do like Mary. Go forward, sit at his feet to learn of him. Go forward to God. Don't let anything and anybody restrict you or stop you from going forward to God. This is our goal. Okay, so he says, remember, he told us in Hebrews 4:16 to come to the throne of mercy and grace that you might find grace to help in time of need. Okay, we got to come forward. And too many Christians are not willing to come forward because we're stuck with our circumstances. We're stuck in the soul of our mind and our emotions and our will. Those things have to be nailed. We get too emotionally involved and drained by outward circumstances. And if you're an emotional person that everything that you see and hear just bothers you, and you have to learn how to still, people think there's something wrong with you because you're not entertaining a lot of the stuff. It's just that you're trying to preserve your emotions from getting involved and engaged in stuff that will disturb your peace. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And we have to sometimes, like I told you, I don't watch TV, the news and stuff, because those things can disturb you and distract you from the real focus. And the enemy knows this, and he does not want us to be developed and built a spiritual house. So let's go to Romans chapter 5, and are y'all there? Let's go to verse 8. Yes,
But God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
You see this? While we were sinners, he died.
Yes.
He didn't say what kind of sin, because he concluded everybody as a sinner. He didn't look at the types of sin we were doing, but we were all sinners because we were born in sin. So he lumped us all as sinners and said he commended his love towards us by sending his son. And even while we hated him, he died. And we can't even, people mistreat us, don't do certain things with us, and there we go. We can't deal with them. But while we were sinners and mistreated him and put him to death, he died. He died so that he can bring us back to God the Father. Keep going. Now, I want to say this. That was his earthly ministry, his ministry according to Aaron, his earthly ministry, his death. See that? He became the sin offering. Keep going, Sister Terry.
Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him.
Okay, so notice here, after you and I have been justified and he died for us, now we shall be saved from wrath through him. See?
Mm-hmm.
So this is daily living, your deliverance from the wrath of God through Christ, the judgment, from the judgment of God, the punishment of God. As we are trusting in Christ day to day, this same power that his death accomplished in forgiving us of sin has the power to save us from the wrath through Christ. Keep going, Sister Cherry.
For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
Now understand this, while we were enemies, what that means is Christ's intercession, because he died, he was interceding his presence for our salvation while we were enemies. You see this?
Amen.
For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of the son, of his son, what do you think now his ministry that he's gone into the heaven, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. What life? Grace. God's life being poured back into us so that he can live it out in and through us. Y'all see this?
Yes.
He reconciled us. His intercession he made intercession on our behalf from the foundation of the world. Christ died, and he had interceded that the world might be saved, and those who answer the call have been reconciled to God through his death. And now much more, y'all, being reconciled, guess what? We shall be saved by his life.
Amen.
We shall have daily deliverance, just like Abraham. Abraham was able to overcome the four kings and his army with only 318 men. See this? It was because of the intercession of the priest, Melchizedek, which was a type of Christ. Keep going, Sister Cherry.
And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement.
So we have been redeemed, and we are as the word atonement, at one man. You see that? But God's wrath has been settled. Sin has been atoned. Christ has become the propitiation or the satisfaction. And now we're redeemed. We can be saved by his life from day to day. See this? That's grace. His life being poured out or poured back into us. Now, any questions about that before I go further? Let's also go to I just had it. I think it was in 1 John. Let me see here. Verse 10. Let me see. Y'all give me 1 second. Okay, I'll find it in a minute. So let's go back to Hebrews chapter 7. It's probably where it is. Okay. Back in Hebrews 7, we were at verse, what, 25?
26.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and read that for me, Sister Cherry.
For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens.
Okay. So you see here that Christ is higher than that. Y'all said that earlier, how he's higher than the heavens. Now let me read these notes here in 25. Christ, as our high priest, undertakes our case by interceding for us. He appears before God on our behalf and prays for us that we may be saved and brought fully into God's eternal purpose. That's what verse 25 is pretty much saying. Okay? It's his presence. Okay? It's because he fulfilled the will of God, his presence makes intercession for our initial salvation and for us to fulfill God's purpose. That's what Abraham did when he went out to fight on behalf of God's interest for Lot. See that? He went out to fight for God's interest on behalf of God's interest for Lot. God had interceded for Lot, but he used Abraham, who was a willing vessel, who walked by faith and was not afraid to face this evil in the earth. You see this? He revealed God's authority. God's authority flowed from the throne down on earth. And this is what God is looking for. He's looking for individuals who don't mind what they go through, who don't care about what they have to go through to accomplish God's will. Look at the three Hebrew boys. They were faced with either bowing down to the king and his image or being placed in a fiery furnace. They were not careful or concerned about it. Their answer right away was, no, we're not. We're not going to do it. They weren't troubled and trying to make up their mind about it. No. They said, if God save us, so be it. If not, then he'll be with us. Y'all see? But they came to a settled mind that they were going to go through the fiery furnace. They were not going to override their faith and allow the circumstances that they faced cause them to not trust God. They said, we're going to trust God even if we have to go through a fiery furnace. You see this? There are many things in life and many demands that the world place on us, and many of us cave because of we're looking at the outward circumstances. See? Many people during the time of the Holocaust said that laws were created to destroy lives just because of their race. Okay? Many people said that we're not going to compromise our faith and hand over just because there's a law to do something that's not right in the sight of God. So many people put their lives on the line, and they lost their lives because they chose to not hand over the Jews, not destroy the lives, but they hid them. You had the Corrie Ten Boom's and her family. Her family, her dad and her sister, they lost their life in a concentration camp when they were not even Jews themselves. But they put their lives on the line to defend and to save lives. Y'all see what I'm saying? We as Christians, we have to stand up for what's right, even if laws, abortion, homosexuality, it doesn't matter what it is. The world can create laws, but the world can't make those laws moral in the sight of God. So this is where God needs a people to stand, even if it may cost you our life. Because guess what? To be absent from the body is to be where? In his presence.
With the Lord.
Yes. And we all have to come to that settled conclusion. And we can't do this in the energy of our strength. This is why we have to be transformed. This is why we have to be made lively stones so we can become a spiritual house. God is developing each of us through our circumstances to make us where we're able to stand, not in the energy of my strength, not me up here pretending I can stand, but me really trusting God and seeing who he really is and trusting him in every difficult moment, every situation. I have to leave the consequences in his hands. Amen? Mm-hmm. I can't even make decisions for my own self. You know, I may want to do this and do that and go here and go there, but we have to, Lord, whatever your will is, if it's your will for me to be at this job, so be it, even in the difficult situations. Why? Because God will be glorified. See, y'all see what I'm saying? The enemy wants us to run. The enemy wants us, when we face difficulty, to take off and run and find something better. But God allowed the famine during the time of Ruth and Naomi. Why did he allow the famine? It was for a purpose. They chose to flee the famine, but ended up losing her husband and two sons. You see what I'm saying? They ended up going right back into the will of God, back into Jerusalem, where they were supposed to go, where they were supposed to be, and end up being more blessed. See what I'm saying? Our circumstances and difficulty will cause us to be blessed as we go through it, not run away from it. Because there is development in it. Tribulation will work patience, gives us the constancy to stand under the weight of this trial until God produces tried and approved character. Remember, we're being transformed, and too many of us as Christians have the idea that life is just about happy, 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 everything going my way. No, everything has to go God, the way of God, the way that God desires, okay?
Yes.
So Christ, this intercession he's already interceded for us. He's cheering us on to face whatever we have to face, and so that he can bring us forth as pure gold, because his life in exchange, we're giving him our old life, natural life, in exchange for his new life. In exchange for his life to be, see, remember, we are a new creation. Old things are what? Being passed away. Behold, all things are becoming what?
New.
See, yes. And this is the cross is what is used to get us through this process. It doesn't feel good. We don't like it. It's not what the natural person wants, but it's necessary. If we're going to be priests for God, if we're going to be used and anointed by God to accomplish his purposes in the earth. Okay? Now, the other scripture I had, and I know my time's probably almost up. Let me check and see. Okay, I can read it. You don't have to go there, but you can write this down. The other scripture I had was in 1 John 1:21. 1 John 1:21. And it was dealing with, let me see here, Christ and his intercession. Let me see here. 1 John 1. And it says here, I think I have it. It is 21. 1 John, let me make sure I got it. We'll get that. I'll get it to y'all in a minute. But here in the scriptures in verse 26, he says, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Your problems don't go beyond heaven. It can't get. Your problems, if we trust Christ, he's in the heavens. He's gone beyond it. He's gone through the principalities. He's seated at the right hand. So whatever problems we have is here on the earth. Y'all see this? This one is holy. He has personal purity. He is not capable of sinning. His relationship is Godward. He is guileless. This is the spotless priest that we have. He's guileless. He was without evil in his thought life. He was innocent and harmless in his relationship manward. So the word guileless appears only twice in the Greek New Testament, and it's here and in Romans 16:18. He's undefiled. He was unstained, and this is his relationship sinward, and it refers to his moral purity in contrast to ritual purity of the Levitical priests. He is separated from sinners, and he was made higher than the heaven. Verse 27.
Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's, For this he did once when he offered up himself.
So the Levitical priest, what they would do first, and this is in Leviticus 9, one of the tasks was they first had to offer sacrifice for their own sins. And when they were Levitically cleansed, then they could represent the people before the throne and offer up sacrifices for the people. So they were men and they were sinners. So they still were in need of sacrifice for their sins. Christ needed no sacrifice. He became the sacrifice for us. So again, it's comparing and contrasting Christ with the Levitical priesthood. Amen? So anybody got any questions? We're going to close on that note. My time is up and we're going to have to close. But those on the line, if you'll hold on, we'll take questions and comments. We want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. We pray we said some things that will strengthen you in your walk and help you in your growth and understanding this ministry that Christ has for us as Christians. It doesn't matter what your difficulty is in life. Understand we have to be like the three Hebrew boys, and we have to allow Christ to be with us in the difficulty so that his life can manifest in and through our lives. So until next Tuesday at 6:45, we'll see you again on Understanding God's Word. Thank you and be blessed.